Well, good Tuesday morning, friends, and so happy to have you again with us on Gospel Dynamite as we're finally, after 17 weeks, it's gone by so fast, and enjoy the study of God's wonderful, wonderful Word. And we've covered a lot of territory. We call this Looking into Heaven, and we're getting a glimpse of what's going on in heaven in the future in our lives and with anticipation of what's coming. Man, I'm excited for Jesus Christ to return for all of us, aren't you? And even so, come Lord Jesus. Maybe He'll come today. We get through. Maybe if somebody's listening unsaved, they can get saved, and then we'll all be together with the Lord. But let me just remind you, and if you haven't been through some of our Bible study, I'm sure you could find a way that get them from WDYN, or maybe Brother Tommy will put a package series together and you could send an offering to the station and get the whole series for a friend. But we're talking about this wonderful truth about looking into heaven. And we started with the coming of Jesus Christ because we're going to heaven. If we die, we're going to heaven. We're going to immediately be there in the presence of the Lord. But if we're still alive, we started so with the coming of the Lord, Jesus' return, and then a study of the rapture. Spent 2 weeks on that. And then we looked at our new bodies. Once we come through the rapture, we get our new glorified bodies after the rapture. Hallelujah. So we talked about what's our new bodies going to be like. And then the third segment, the judgment seat of Christ. We spent 3 weeks looking at the judgment seat of Christ and what occurs there, what we're going to be rewarded for and how it all works. Then we looked into our future home, our heaven. We talked specifically here about the New Jerusalem and the city that we're going to live in, that huge 1,500-mile high, it's a 1,500-mile cube of this glorious New Jerusalem prepared by God, the city that Abraham was looking for, and we are too. Then we spent 2 weeks looking at the new heaven itself and the new earth. What's the new earth going to be like? And then we talked about living in the millennium. What's it like when we, who are eternal beings, live in the millennial and on the millennial earth and reign with Jesus? This is where it's fulfilled. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many. One of you may be the governor of the state of Tennessee. Some of you may be the mayor of Chattanooga, and you will lead in what a time that's going to be. Man alive. And then we went from the millennial into the white throne judgment. That'll be the next thing that happens. And then we looked at the books that are opened. He said, and the book are open. We looked at each one of those. We started this last segment on worship in heaven and what we're doing and worshiping and praising the Lord. And we're not just going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. That'd get boring, wouldn't it? I saw it was cute. Peanut, you know, this peanut, and he was sitting in heaven. He had made it to heaven. He was sitting on a cloud playing his harp. And he said, man, if I know this is all I'm going to do, I'd have brought me a magazine. We're not going to be just sitting on a harp. I mean, sitting on a cloud. Some of us probably have to sit on the harp. But in heaven, we'll play them and we'll rejoice. But we're going to have so many wonderful things to do in the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, seeing God's creation. It's going to be wonderful. Well, let's begin looking at worship in heaven. And let me just quickly review with you that chapter 4 of the Revelation, John looks into heaven and he sees the things that are going on. And we've talked about these. And we said last week, today in worship, we experience it in 5 parts, praise of God, prayer to God, preaching about God, giving to God, and serving God. We worship God in those 5 areas. But in heaven, only one basically will remain. You don't need to pray anymore because your prayers are answered. You're home. We're in God's presence. Our needs are all met. We don't need to go soul winning anymore because we're all born again. Praise the Lord. You don't need to bring a tithe and offering. You've done that before, and you did it, and you were rewarded for it, and hallelujah, and we ought to be doing it, and we ought to be faithful about it right now. No need in preaching, because everybody up there is saved. Amen? So we started by breaking it down in, number one, the context of worship in heaven. And we looked at these pieces as we saw this verse 1. I'm going to just read it without commenting on it. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. He said, I'm going to give you a glimpse into what's going to occur in the future. So we looked at the context of worship and the picture of it. And the center of worship, verses 2 and 3, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. The throne was set, established. Don't have to worry about who's in control. The Lord is. He's on his throne. He is high and lifted up right now today. The throne speaks of the sovereignty of God, the lordship, the kingship, his authority, his power, his might, his rule. He is in control. He is on his throne. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so rejoiced in that. But then we saw when John looked to see the person sitting on the throne, he describes him like a jasper, a diamond, clear as crystal, speaks of his brilliant holiness and radiance. And then as a sardine stone, a blood red, bright, brilliant ruby, which speaks of the shed blood and the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see him in his holiness and his redemption. Around the throne, a great emerald rainbow, all the way around it, not a half one, a wholeness. This is a promise that judgment is ended. We're in heaven. There's not going to be judgment anymore. God has judged the world. All sinners have been judged and are in the lake of fire. Satan, the false prophets, the demons of hell, all that's been judged. It is now righteous throughout God's kingdom, God's creation. God is on the throne. And then we look in verse 4, and you see the saints round the throne, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 little thrones. Upon the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. So it works finished. We're resting with the Lord there now. Clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. As we said, the white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. The crowns of gold, the Stephanos, is the overcomer's crown, the victor's crown. You won the run the race, you finished the course, and there's a crown there for you that God gives you at the beam of judgment, and you have that crown. Jesus has on his head the crown of the diadem, the king, the Lord, the potentate. And then we talked a little bit about the sounds, the thunders and lightnings in verse 5 that were coming out from around the throne. We talked about the four Zoa, the creatures there, saying, holy, holy, holy to the Lord, and we described them. Now, we're going to look now at our part in this praise and worship as you look at verses 9 through 11, and we want to kind of major on this today as we close out. Now, Revelation 4:9, and when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. So these Zoa, these creatures, these seraphims are blessing the Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Spontaneously, the 24 elders fall down before him, prostrate themselves. Proskuneo is a Greek word from this word worship. And sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. That we literally prostrate ourselves before the feet of our great God, our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you looking forward to that? Bless his holy name. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And that great, great glory and praise of the Lord fall down before him. See, it's all about Jesus in heaven. It's all about Jesus. And worship him and cast their crowns before him and sing praise to him and magnifying his name. It's like multiple Handel's Messiahs by infinity as the praise and the glory of Almighty God. William Temple wrote this as he defined praise like this, which he says he thinks would happen in heaven. He says, listen, And I quote William Temple, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination with the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the very purpose of God. And this should be the goal of every worshiper on earth now, as we prepare to worship before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God in heaven." Amen and amen. Isn't that the truth? Well, let's look at Roman numeral number 3. Now, as we're kind of making our way through this and application of it as we apply it to our hearts and our soul, number 1 was the context of worship in heaven. Number 2, the center of worship in heaven is Jesus. And now we look at the build-up, the crescendo, the praise as it goes forwards. Now, a crescendo means to start small, to build up, and to end big and grand. I used to always love that when the orchestra and the big choir at Highland Park would sing one of those great anthems of the faith, and they would build up, and then they would have a crescendo at the end, draw us all to a height of worship before the Lord. See, in the worship songs of the Revelation, they grow in praise of the Lord. They come to a crescendo as we move through. Here's the first one in Revelation 1:6 is twofold. It says, "He shall have glory and dominion." The second song we see now is threefold, that he will have glory, honor, and power. In Revelation 5:13 is fourfold. It says, "Blessing and honor and glory and power." And then in Revelation 7:12 is sevenfold, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might." It just keeps enlarging as we bless the Lord. See, we're going to look in the face of our Lord, the Savior of our soul, our Bishop, the anchor of our lives, our King. And we'll love Him as we've never loved Him before. We'll worship Him. We'll serve Him. We'll sing praise to Him. Remember the song, "'Tis the church triumphant singing, worthy is the Lamb. Heaven throughout with praises ringing, worthy is the Lamb. Thrones and powers before Him bending, incense sweet and voice ascending, swell the chorus never ending, worthy is the Lamb. Every kindred, tongue, and nation, worthy the Lamb. Join to sing the great salvation, worthy the Lamb. Loud as mighty thunder roaring, floods of mighty waters pouring, prostrate at His feet adoring, worthy the Lamb. Harps and songs forever sounding, worthy the Lamb. Mighty grace or sin abounding, worthy the Lamb. By His blood He dearly bought us, wandering from the fold He sought us, and to glory faithful brought us, worthy is the Lamb." See, this crescendo of worship and praise escalates in accord with God's timeline of history. The closer we get to His return, the greater the praise builds up as we magnify the Lord. A lot of emphasis on praise in the church today. And, you know, we could be getting close to the grand finale when the Lord Jesus comes. I remember when we would do at Highland Park, we would do the big Chattanooga Christmas Festival, and we would do the Chattanooga Passion Play. And at the Christmas Festival, with a big Christmas tree and all the lights and all the things going on, when we would come almost to the end, we would have about 6 or 7 minutes. I would step in and present the gospel. And over those years, thousands of people saved. Every year, a couple of hundred people would be born again. We'd start on Thursday night, Friday night, do a Saturday matinee, and then Sunday night. Sometimes we did a Saturday matinee and a Saturday night. A few years, we'd have up to 20,000 people that would come to that program over all those nights. But we would present the gospel, give the invitation. And then there on the platform for the great finale was that great Highland Park Baptist Church choir and orchestra, all the different lights and the tree, over 500 people involved in this thing, and they would begin to sing that great conclusion of praise. And almost to the end would be the explosion of the indoor fireworks. Remember that? And you could just hear people going, "Oh, the wonder, the majesty of it all, of what Jesus Christ means to us." Well, let's close now with number four, the contrast of worship in heaven. Four things we learn from John's experience on the Isle of Patmos. Number one, this is kind of applying it all. Worship is not about us. It's about Him. That's the danger. When we're trying to attract attention to ourselves, it's easy for human beings to forget that God is the center of our worship, not us. You ought not be attracting attention to yourself. We ought to be magnifying the Lord. Many come and they'll come to a service. They come as evaluators. They'll evaluate the hymns and the music and the preacher and the attire and so forth. But remember, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. Then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So folks, listen, remember, it's all about God. Number one, it's all about Jesus. Number two, worship is not about here, it's about there. Amen? This old world is not our home, am I right? We're only pilgrims passing through. See, worship turns our minds from this world, from the carnal things of this world, and puts them on Jesus and the heavenly things of eternity. It makes me think of Colossians chapter 3. Let me read you verses 1 through 4. Listen, if ye then be risen with Christ, you're born again, you're saved. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. That's our future. So if each day, the Lord help us, to focus on the Lord Jesus, His character, His purpose, His plans, His love for us, His will for us, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, it will change our lives. Amen? So when we talk about the contrast of worship, worship is not about us, it's about Him. Number two, worship's not about here, it's about there. It's about the King in heaven and us going there. Number three is this, worship is not about now, but about then. You say, what do you mean, Brother David, by that? Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if I could, beginning at verse 15 through 18. But let me read 14 for context. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. Paul said, we're all going to be gathered together. For all things are yours, are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God as we praise Him through our thanksgiving. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And our old bodies are dying. We're getting older. We're getting not as strong, not as fast. But the inward man, the spiritual man, grows stronger as we move forward with Almighty God. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here's what He's saying to us. Evaluate all that is going on in the light of God's promises to us in the future. I am going to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to be with Jesus forever. I'm going to reign and rule with the Lord. Our outer man is perishing, but inwardly we're being renewed. Oh, the sweet time with God. Get up in the mornings and early. And have your Bible and spend time in prayer. And probably about the first hour and a half of my morning in the mornings now that I can just spend time with the Lord and pray for so many people And that's part of my ministry, my prayer ministry today, praying for people. And inwardly renewed by it. Today, affliction, trials, the future, a new weight of glory. When you and I, ladies and gentlemen, will be the sons and daughters of Almighty God, the bride of Christ. The things seen around us are only temporary. The unseen before us is eternal. Amen? To be with the Lord. So worship moves us victoriously through the trials of this life. It's difficult to suffer. There may be some of you listening today, you're battling sickness. I battle some of that. That's hard. It's frustrating on you. You know, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and sometimes I get up in the morning, my old joints are swollen and sore and hurt. But it only makes me think again of the wonder of having a new and glorified body. Amen? And these are just temporal. He's coming. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We pray for him to come. We plead for him to come. Amen? Now, so worship is not about us. It's about him. Worship is not about here. It's about there. And worship is not just about now. It's about then. I mean, look into the eternities and what's coming and enjoy it and be blessed by it. Number four and the last thing. Worship is not about just one, you. But it's about the one, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And it's about those brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, we live in a day when only about one in three go to church to worship the Lord with the body of Christ. America's fallen a long way. They go sit in nature, go fishing, golf, just sleep in, sports, do other different things. When saved, we're baptized into the body of believers where we will remain with our brothers and sisters for Christ as the body of Christ forever. So we need to learn to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, which we're going to be doing in eternity. Could I read you one more verse in closing today as we've got about 4 minutes or so left, and turn over to the book of Hebrews. Those of you I had the privilege to pastor, I've read this to you many, many times over the years, and you know, I enjoyed, people ask me all the time, how did you enjoy your time at Highland Park in Tennessee Temple? I loved it. My nearly 20 years there with the church and the school were wonderful times. Saw a lot of people saved. The church was blessed, and you'd come out and see thousands of people in those big programs and everything. So many soul-winning opportunities that were around us. Union Gospel Mission, Camp Joy, television, radio, the evangelist, our newspaper, and all these things, the university, the seminary, the School of the Bible, just teaching all these wonderful places to serve God together and love people. I still, a lot of my traveling is into the churches of students that attended Tennessee Temple. And I enjoy being with them, John Boggs and Janie out in Albuquerque, Mexico. Love John. Old John has just grown and God is using his life over with Bruce and Linda and so many other graduates that are doing a work for God. And on the mission field with them, what a blessing to see how God is working in their hearts and their lives. But now, listen, the importance of the church in our lives and in our worship, Hebrews chapter 10, and look with me at verse 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, the water is the word of God. With the blood is cleansed us, given us eternal life, but the constant washing of the water of the Word, hearing the Word of God, listen to me, preaching's important in your life, friend, in mine. Boy, when I'm not preaching in a church, I'm in church, and I'm listening to the Word of God, and God fills my soul. God meets my needs. God touches me where I hurt or where I need encouraging. He said, let us consider one another. Now, let me back up to verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Depend upon God, the Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness and stability. Amen? Now, let us provoke one another. Let's encourage one another. to provoke unto love and good works. Don't beat Christians down. Don't beat brothers and sisters down. If you got to talk ugly about somebody, talk about the devil. Talk about the wicked. Don't beat up on a fellow believer. Amen. Don't be a gossip. Don't be a backbiter like like some of them used to do in the nursery, remember? And boy, Sheila Warman, the ladies there, would take care of that nursery and all those little kids and minister in their lives. God said, listen, you love one another. Consider one another. Provoke unto love. Now here, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The word assembly is the word for church, as the manner of some is. But doing what? But exhorting one another. I really more in my life try to be an encourager to people. So many people are hurting. And to encourage people to keep forward, keep loving God. He's coming soon. Let's trust him. Let's rejoice in him. Let's bless his holy name. And he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't you see the end coming? Don't you see it's getting near? And the way this world is and the perilous times that are around us, may we worship the Lord. May we encourage others. May we love one another. And may we bless the name of the Lord. Part of your ministry ought to be in encouraging your church to invest in WDYN. Make that part of your home missions. 24 hours a day, night and day, preaching the Word of God. You love this station? Get involved in it. Amen? Love it. Encourage it. Be a blessing. Pray for Brother Tommy. Get you a list from him or the staff. I'll try to get one from him, and I'll read it to you on the radio. But so you can pray for all of them and their families. I do. I've got their list in my prayer book, and I pray for them that God will bless them and watch over them. Well, I've enjoyed the study with you. And what we're going to start with next week, I don't know yet. I've got to spend the week in prayer and seeing what God wants us to look into next. But we'll have another study. We'll enjoy the Word of God. I'll enjoy sharing with it, with you in it and with our Lord, and that God will bless us together. Amen? You know, we're going to let our lives count. We're going to make a difference until Jesus comes to get us. Well, friend, it's been a blessing today, and I pray the Lord will bless you. Continue to pray for Tommy, the station, the staff. Continue to give. Be a giver. Be an encourager to them, the people that are around you. Be a blessing today. Give out a gospel tract. Get your gospel tracts and give. I give out the one, How to Get to Heaven from Wherever You Are. That's the one I carry all over the world with us. And that God, we see people saved, and God's faithful. He still uses tracts. Well, until next week, this is David Bowler. It's my prayer the Lord will richly bless you.